One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All autistic people are innocent, pure beings with no sexual desire.
I only look that way. Bad bitches.
I don't know how to answer, you don't look autistic. Is that an insult? Is that a compliment?
Something's different.
Yeah, like, why are these scarves following this woman around all the time? She must be special needs.
Four years ago, I spent a day with autistic people, and we were able to bring those same three guests back today to address your assumptions together.
This is one of our most requested episodes, so let's get into it.
People with autism is the politically correct phrase.
You could call autistic people, people with autism, or neurodivergent, but sometimes I know neurotypicals like to insult other neurotypicals by calling them autistic, but you can call me that, like, I don't care.
I think the best thing to do is to just ask the person, like what I don't mind being called an autistic person, But if someone was like, please call me as a person with autism, then respect that. I think it's all just communication.
I feel like asking the person, and because sometimes there's just not the awareness. So it's sometimes, at least I hope when people don't use, like, do it in a certain way, it's with malintent. I feel like it's about asking and with respect for the label that if you did it incorrectly, checking that it's correct, or at least the way the person wants to be addressed.
Okay, this is from Dreamy Tea Party Princess. A lot of people see autism as a superpower. They only see our creative sides and not the meltdowns or sensory issues.
I haven't checked if I was able to climb on walls or anything or swoop on. If that's what autism gave me, then oof, please give me more. No, like, it's just not
and
at all.
And if you were in My Hero Academia, that's a superpower.
I was about to talk about that. And I'm just like, Mike Quirk, autism. And I'm just,
thinks differently. Like all the exclamations under it.
It's like, oh, I wanted super speed. Why'd I get this? No, but all honesty, I think it's just how you look at autism yourself and how you expand on it.
I'd say autistics have superpowers, but there's a catch. That makes superpowers not even worth it anymore.
What would be the catch, in your opinion?
Traumatic experience.
Oh, you can fly, but you have a supervillain backstory, apparently.
For example, my memory goes back to 2, and my memory is super powerful, but that means I also remember all the worst things I don't want to remember.
Sometimes those things just won't go away. I feel like it's the best thing to do in those situations to move forward and not moving on, because sometimes just neurotypicals or divergents just can't do that.
Yeah, I would say, like, I feel like there's a lot of things that people with autism who deal with autism gain. For me, getting into college, I wrote one of my essays and I called, weirdly again, like autism as a gift, because it gave me a really hard work ethic. I have to work harder to get to where I am today with how my brain just functions or how I learn and understand things. And in that sense, I guess that gave me that kind of superpower, if you want to call work ethic a superpower. And not just from autism, but sometimes it does give you superpowers because you become a product of someone who has gone through a lot or has gone through handling different situations that maybe some other people don't.
Amanda Borhart 1000 says, it's obvious that someone has autism and it's impossible that someone with normal behavior could be autistic.
It's a very black and white statement.
Yeah.
That's saying that you're either like so over here or you're so over here. I feel like sometimes I can feel very, very like talkative. And on the other hand, other times I don't want to speak to anyone or anything.
I wish people could tell that I'm autistic so they would treat me.
I thought about that and I don't know how to answer you when people say you don't look autistic or yeah, I can tell you're autistic. I don't know. Is that an insult? Is that a compliment? Thank you. Thank you for telling me that I don't look autistic.
It's so difficult because yes, sometimes you do need the help. And sometimes it's great not to get the assumption when it doesn't appear physically or by the behavior that you don't have autism. But it's also dangerous because, again, you don't know what the person's gone through and what they're dealing with or what they're thinking when it's more with like how you think, how you behave, and
yeah,
it gets tricky when someone says stuff like that where it's when you can't see it, it's difficult.
People should stop self-diagnosing through TikTok.
I don't think you can easily just self-diagnose yourself on TikTok and call it a day, and I don't think that's what people are doing. I don't think autism is a trend. I don't think autism is trending. I think people are being more vocal about the fact that they have autism. And the reason why self-diagnosis and autism is on the rise is because the health system is really screwed up. Like, it's really hard for someone to be able to just easily get a diagnosis. And even after that, some people get false diagnosis. Some people can be labeled as autistic when they're not, or in the other way, you're labeled a completely different disability as opposed to autism or what it really is.
For me, I think if you're autistic, you should seek professional help. I mean, it took 3 therapy sessions for me to, for someone to discover that I was autistic. And help is out there. I don't think you should do it alone.
But it is it is very expensive, though.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad to believe that like you have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars just for someone to tell you, yeah, you're right, you have autism, give me money. That's really not, it's not as simple as that.
Autistic children should have aides with them at all times. What's a different word for
it? Have AIDS.
Monitor. I don't want to say.
Never leave me.
I don't want to say it like that. I want to say Okay, let me.
Professional.
No,
me
it's assistant. Fine, it's fine.
Assistance. Let me say it again. One more time.
No, I'm going to say I think AIDS is funny.
Let me get it in. Let me get it in, y'all. Autistic children need personal assistance with them at all times during school.
I think that it really depends on the autistic person. Because I know you were talking about how you had IEP and like it really helped you a bit growing up. But like with me, on the other hand, I was one of those people that actively resented wanting IEP or AIDS in this case, because like, I don't need help. I can get to where I want to be by myself. But so it's really a case by case basis on who the person is.
Yeah, so I was diagnosed when I was 13. So there was a me before AIDS and a me after AIDS. And so before I had the assistants following me around the school, my disability was invisible. After the assistants started following me around the school, my disability turned visible. And so I think that was a problem.
It's like having a neon sign that just says, hey, look at me, I'm
Something's
autistic.
Something's different.
Yes. Why are these guards following this woman around all the time? She must be special needs.
And it's frustrating because it brings on the tag of we're not capable.
Yeah.
Because we are. It's maybe we need... we don't have AIDS right now. Like, we don't need someone's help every single step of the way. Maybe on step one, or, but not the whole way.
Women can't be autistic.
Yeah, it's interesting. The schools saw me as different, and they saw that as a woman. So she must have ADD. They were pushing ADD on everyone. Well, they kept testing me and testing me and testing. It kept coming out negative and negative. And I think since I was a woman, it was hard for me to get the autism diagnosis. And so that's why it was late for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like it's, again, like with the TikTok, like it's great to bring awareness. And I feel like we see all this media portraying autism and it's always boys and men.
Yeah.
And there's this assumption. And it's really unfortunate because girls can have autism too. And also nowadays where we're kind of progressing in the queer community, it's like also people who aren't boys or girls can have autism too.
Yeah.
Most queer or trans people are autistic.
It's yours.
This one is for Richie.
I had this conversation multiple times about why a lot of autistic people come out as trans and non-binary, because I started thinking about why some people transition that way and why they go into becoming trans and being non-binary, being them true selves. And I started realizing that because we have such social issues, or at least with me, because we have such social issues and we don't like to conform with society and think of how society thinks, basically everything that we do is a non-factor in society. And it's all about how we feel and how who we are. So with me, I knew I wasn't a girl, but I hated being labeled as a guy. And non-binary just seemed to fit the most because it made me feel like I can be myself and my true self is the only thing that matters. As in my gender, what I wear, who I am, should not matter. All that matters is my character, my personality. And non-binary, me being non-binary has made me the happiest I have ever been. Who knows? Maybe I'm actually not non-binary and I'm going to transition to a different gender. That's the human nature. But I feel like a lot of autistic people transition because they think about themselves first and foremost. And this is what I think of myself. I am non-binary and I'm pretty fucking happy about it.
Being autistic automatically makes someone socially inept.
I'm pretty bad socially.
Not automatically. Yeah, I get socially inept sometimes. But when someone starts talking about what I do, I can go on for days and talk about things.
It's almost like similar to the other symptoms. It's something that can, it's sometimes it's an unfair assumption because it's something that you could always work on. Like, yeah, maybe I do feel like I have a harder time developing relationships, developing friendships. And then especially, like, how do I maintain my socialism in a work environment when there's certain etiquette in place? And it is harder. I feel like I do have to think about that stuff sometimes, and I don't mean to be offensive, but I feel like it is fair to say that it sometimes is harder, but I feel like it's still, we could still carry ourselves in society. And
I am.
It's just maybe harder.
Autism is just being a little bit quirky.
You know, just being a little quirky, you know.
Just a bit.
Just a bit.
It's totally not.
It's this.
It's not like the brain wires are coiled up or anything. I mean, that's not what autism is. Yeah, so I have lots of quirks, but autism is not one big quirk. So I have a few quirks. So, for example, what do I do? I bunny hop. I walk like a dog. I make animal noises all the time. I like to keep my arms like this because it's comfortable. And I embarrass my mommy all the time.
I do like to sometimes like have something to do with my fingers when it's like, I don't know if it's just like I need something to do with my fingers. It's like, I guess it's like something just the brain, and then just goes that. And then it's like, well, yeah, I'm quirky, but is there anything wrong with that? I feel like non-autistic people also have quirks. It's not, I mean, maybe autistic people.
Here's my quirks.
Higher percentage autism people have quirks, but it's like there's nothing wrong with a quirk.
All people with autism face sensory issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least for me. I don't know about anyone else, but...
With me, I do feel sensory issues. Shockingly, it's not just loud noises. It's constant loud noises. But it's most of my sensory issues come from taste and touch. Styrofoam scares the ever-loving shit out of me.
I feel like this is why they're in horror films, but I cannot stand the sound of a wind chime when it's supposed to be quiet and
with
then
me?
It goes off. It's my ears will just...
I'm sensitive to like the way certain fabrics feel on your skin and the way certain textures of food feel in your mouth. Like, if I don't like the texture of the food, bleh.
Yeah, I don't like apples and I don't like chocolate for those specific reasons, because chocolate coats the roof of your mouth and it feels disgusting. Apples have like that skin on it, and it's gotten to a point where every time I eat anything apple flavored, I'm just reminded of the skin, and I don't like the skin, is what I'm trying to say.
I can't do whipped cream. Whipped cream's gross. Even in my hands.
Whipped cream is gross?
It's gross.
I mean, that's bad.
The foamy hand soap, just throw that stuff away. I hate the...
I feel like, if I'm in a horror movie with the sound sensory thing, I will like cover my ears when I could tell there's about to be a jump
thing. Yeah, I'm like this.
I try not to do horror movies anymore.
I handle nails on a chalkboard, but God forbid if someone brings out the cornstarch. See? When someone brings out the cornstarch, I've seen videos where people are eating cornstarch, and I'm just like, what is wrong with you?
Oh, I hate the cornstarch feelings. It's like,
I use cornstarch in cooking because I love cooking, but like, gotta dilute it first. Like, oh my gosh.
I had someone say that they feel like they've really misunderstood the feeling of sensory issues. Can y'all just get into like what the immediate feeling is? Like if you touch your bare foot to the floor or you...
I twitch, like I'm like
I bleh. Yeah, like I feel like when I'm hearing like a band and it's like just a little bit too loud and the reverberance, like my eyes will just like
is this
sound, and it's like sorry.
Just no, sounds I get this burning rage if I hear something I don't want to hear, like background noise for a long period of time. I would want to literally jump off a cliff.
Like, I'm a little
I'm filled with so much rage.
I have to put headphones on. Yeah, I get frustrated and I want to do something about it. And I try to fix it by the headphones.
I hope this isn't going to be fuel for us. I hope we're not going to be walking around and someone's bringing one of those cymbals and just
like smash.
I'm cool with that.
Cornstarch.
Yes. Yeah, like, oh no, the corn. No, they brought out the styrofoam.
I shouldn't have revealed this.
Music that you don't want to listen to.
No, you know what? Bring it on. I'll take you on. I'll take your styrofoam on.
Autistic people lack empathy.
Can you explain to me?
Do they think we're psychopaths? Like,
tell me, why did I pass out watching a turtle surgery? Because I wasn't empathetic or anything? For people and animals, like if I see someone hurting, I feel like I could feel their pain almost. Yeah, I do have extra empathy for animals. They have a special place in my heart.
Animals are nice.
Yeah, I think more so than people, but I'm empathetic towards both.
I feel like our emotions are more in like interior. Like, I feel like I do feel very deeply. I go through the same emotions as everyone else. Maybe I don't show it like outwardly all the time, but I do feel it.
I do want to say that I'm a person who's very much an open book. Like, I rarely, if at all, hide anything. That being said, if you're not going to ask me the question, you will never know the answer. I will never just bring something up out of nowhere. That's why I love people asking questions to me, because it makes me feel like they care a lot about me. So the reason why I bring that up is because I would do the same for other people. Yeah, I mean, it's not that I don't feel empathy. It's just the fact that it's hard for me to be able to tell if someone's going through stuff.
Autistic people have a hard time dating.
I feel like dating is hard for anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like for me, it's so much harder when I have a harder time showing my emotions, even though I still feel them. It's tough. And yeah, I mean, I would love to be in a romantic relationship one point, but yeah, it's just difficult, and it's a very hard environment, whether you're autistic or not. And I feel like with autism, it almost makes it a little harder when you're trying to put your emotions out there. And it's like, there's very few people I do that with or I communicate that with.
Right.
My relationships last a very long time, and that's because I can't seem to break off when I should.
Oh, God, tell me about
it. I have separation issues. I don't know.
It's hard.
With me, it was a complete... With me, it was a completely different boat, because like it's really hard for me to keep a long-term relationship. And before my current partner, the previous long-term relationship I had was very toxic and abusive, not just with her, but on both of us. And it's more it was emotional. Relationships of any kind, dating included, is just a lot harder for an autistic person.
So A Good Waste of Time says all autistic people are innocent, holier than thou pure beings with no sexual desires or any idea what sex even is.
I only look that way.
I...
Bad bitches.
Let's just say...
I took biology.
I mean... I saw a penis in a health book once. No, I'm kidding. No, but like, let's just say I've been around. I've done things.
Just because I have autism doesn't mean I don't.
You're talking about boys and girls even.
Scandalous.
Oh wow, wow. Oh my gosh. Oof. I don't think.
I feel like a lot of assumptions are coming from like the assumption that. Like, people are autistic, just don't understand these things or just can't think on their own or, like...
I feel like I have a neurotypical with a magnifying glass over my face being like, what do you do?
Everyone loves Karina says, I assume people with autism struggle with tone.
I can't understand sarcasm for the life of me. How I execute sarcasm is I am, like, completely dramatic in it. Like, for example, when someone gets me, let's say, a can of soup for Christmas, I'm like, oh... Thanks. Like, I would really, like, exaggerate the sarcasm. Because when someone's being sarcastic, but they're talking the same way they do, I'm like, what are you talking about?
I know, it goes back to the socialism manners and trying to, like, interpret how the other person's trying to communicate to me. I feel like I am better when I'm talking with people I know more or I've gotten to know more. But it is something I'm always working on, trying to, like, understand the intonation or the tone that the person's trying to set, whether it's something one thing or the other. Because, I mean, it's one thing for sarcasm, but then it's another when it's a different environment and it's, like trying to interpret that.
Yeah,
of just
course,
different
of course.
Kinds of scenarios, whether it's like dating or whether it's with friends and trying to not offend anyone or just try to understand.
Vaccines cause autism.
Autism existed before vaccines. You can fact checked me. Michelangelo had supposedly had autism.
So did Albert. Albert Einstein? Wasn't he rumored to have autism too?
Isaac Newton. Did they have vaccines? I don't think so.
I remember saying in the old video, like, I may be autistic, but at least I'm not dying. Which I still stand by that. I'd rather be autistic than die. Go get your vaccines. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the anti-vaxxers who want to control every ounce of their child's life as if they won't leave the parents when they turn 18. If vaccines do cause autism, which they don't, uh-huh. then give me more of that, because...
I'd rather have autism than die.
Yeah. Let me go into my next form, apparently.
People are autistic because of childhood trauma.
No, but I think it causes childhood trauma.
That's not as dumb as the vaccine one, but that's still pretty...
Because the core of it is from you, not necessarily the events that happen to you.
I was punched so hard that I now have autism. That's apparently what it's telling me. I mean, to be fair, I do remember a story where my sister told me that she dropped me going down the stairs when I was like 2 years old, and she thought for a while that I got autistic because of that. And there was a time where I was just an awful person, so I would just egg her on. Like, I would just be like, yep, I'm like this because of you. But, like, no, I was all well, it was all fun. I was joking. Mm-hmm. But, like, us having autism, like, childhood trauma does not cause autism. It's people's misunderstanding of autism that what caused my childhood trauma.
Masking is a useful skill for autistic people.
I'm going to try and mask right now.
Sigh.
It's...
doing it.
We have...
I feel like it's a survival mechanism.
Yeah, like we kind of have no choice.
We learn that like someone doesn't react well to me, like not looking someone in the eye or just not understanding a specific etiquette that maybe I just don't know, or I'm like my brain isn't processing like everyone else. And then so then your brain kicks in and it's like, I need to do this so I can survive, or I can get through the next conversation.
If I didn't mask, I wouldn't be able to have a job. Because I'm a barista. I work as a barista. That takes so much out of me at the end of the day. Not even because of the customers, but just overall trying to pretend that I don't have something. Yes. Is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
If I want to get taken seriously at work, because I'm in a very high position, I have to act normal. But deep down, I'm not. And so when I get home, I just start running around like a dog on all fours. And
autistic people should disclose their autism when applying for jobs.
Man, one job discriminated against me after I disclosed, so I'll never do it again.
It's like legally they're not supposed to.
No, yeah, can I get some money out of them?
But at the same time, it's like no one's really... It's hard to like understand like what subconsciously people... putting that label on you.
Jasmine, are you at a place that's more accommodative now?
Yeah, my entire work, currently, they all know that I'm autistic because they did a documentary filming at my work for autism. So they all know. And so I let my quirks show once in a while, and everyone's accepting of it, and I'm very happy. I'm a civil engineer, and my coworkers are civil engineers as well. And they're very high up in their field, and yeah, they totally accept me and treat me like a queen.
Lucky.
As you said.
I want to be treated like a queen. What are the rules in cursing? Like, what are the rules in cursing?
Curse as much as you want.
Oh, okay. I wear autism like a fucking badge of honor. Like, I put it on all job applications. I put it everywhere. It is on my bios. That is something people are going to know no matter what I do. Yeah, I'll wear it like a badge of honor because there's no point in hiding it.
And because you don't want a situation like Jasmine where you don't disclose it, you get the job, and then all of a sudden it's an issue, even though it shouldn't be, because it's about how you handle the job, and then it's... So you go for it.
I almost wondered if I didn't disclose if they would have thought I was neurotypical the entire time.
And I wouldn't want to work for an employer who doesn't respect who I am and how I think and how I contribute. I can contribute. Because I have autism, but I can contribute. I've held a good amount of jobs. I'm a good worker. I mean, I am very fortunate to not be in a position where I've had a job where I wasn't accommodated or accepted for having autism. But yeah, I've been very fortunate. I hope never to work somewhere where they don't accept that, because I hope we live in a world where you just accept it. And because it's autistic people are very good workers. We think differently, and sometimes that's one of our best attributes for contributing to a job.
There's an assumption going around that autistic people are huge fans of Anthony Padilla.
Who? I'm sorry, who's Anthony
of course
Padilla?
We are.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, I I think I saw him in the Angry Birds movie. Yeah, that was
He was in the Angry Birds movie?
Yeah. My favorite Angry Bird. That's
Which Angry Bird?
Yeah, he's part of the cast.
He is in Angry Birds. That is true. He was in one of the Angry Birds movies.
Isn't it like the second one?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.